From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 13. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. Myrrh may well be chosen as the type of Jesus on account of its preciousness, its perfume, its pleasantness, its healing, preserving, disinfecting qualities, and its connection with sacrifice. But why is he compared to a bundle of myrrh? First, for plenty. He is not a drop of it. He is a casket full. He is not a sprig or flower of it, but a whole bundle. There is enough in Christ for all my necessities. Let me not be slow to avail myself of him. Our well-beloved is compared to a bundle again, for variety. For there is in Christ not only the one thing needful, but in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything needful is in him. Take Jesus in his different characters, and you will see a marvelous variety: prophet, priest, king, husband, friend, shepherd. Consider him in his life, death, resurrection, ascension, second advent. View him in his virtue, gentleness, courage, self-denial, love, faithfulness, truth, righteousness. Everywhere he is a bundle of preciousness. He is a bundle of myrrh for preservation, not loose myrrh to be dropped on the floor or trodden on, but myrrh tied up, myrrh to be stored in a casket. We must value him as our best treasure. We must prize his words and his ordinances. And so we must keep our thoughts of him and knowledge of him as under lock and key, lest the devil should steal anything from us. Moreover, Jesus is a bundle of myrrh for specialty. The emblem suggests the idea of distinguishing, discriminating grace. From before the foundation of the world, he was set apart for his people, and he gives forth his perfume only to those who understand how to enter into communion with him, to have close dealings with him. O blessed people, whom the Lord hath admitted into his secrets, and for whom he sets himself apart! O choice and happy who are thus made to say, A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me.
Thank you.
Imagine a boy growing up under the influence of a drunken father, participating in the violence and bloodshed of Northern Ireland in the 1970s, and being imprisoned in the Maze, the most notorious prison in the country. Yet, by the grace of God and the influence of caring loved ones, this young man's life was transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thorough was the change that Thomas Martin became a powerful preacher whose testimony and ministry has seen many men and women brought to new life in Christ. Thomas Martin's story of the miracle of God's saving grace has been set down in a book entitled Out of the Maze, written by Noel Davidson, and Let the Bible Speak is happy to make copies of this encouraging and heartwarming book available free of charge to all who request it. For a free copy of Out of the Maze, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Out of the Maze, and we'll be happy to provide it. But don't delay. The supply of this book is very limited. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the Epistle to the Romans. Our text is found in chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Paul wrote, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live." In the whole book of Romans, the Apostle Paul has been defining and expounding the doctrine of justification by faith. In the verses of our text, he is teaching that the truth believers have received should affect the way they live. Here we see the impact of the gospel in daily life. Now Dr. Cairns commences this message called The Holy Logic of Free Grace.
Returning tonight to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we come to verses 12 and 13. Verses 12 and 13 of Romans chapter 8. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of His Word for His own name's sake. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You'll notice that the text commences with a therefore. It's always important when you're reading, especially in Paul, to notice the therefores and the wherefores and the so thens. The writing of the Apostle Paul, inspired of God, yet using in his own mysterious, miraculous manner, the particular mindset of the writer. The writing of the Apostle Paul has two great characteristics. I'm not talking now about its content, I'm talking about its style. It's two great characteristics. One is the constant eruptions of volcanic passion. You read that again and again. Paul was writing deep theology, but he never wrote it like an academic, though he had more true learning than the great academics who comment upon him. He could never write with a cold, clinical, academic detachment. With Paul, there was always that volcanic element, the eruption from the depths of a heart that was moved by truth, of devotion and of application. The other great characteristic of Paul's writing is its logic. Paul wrote in a very methodical and logical fashion. Now, sometimes the volcanic eruptions erupt in the midst of the logic, and that can lead to many a headache for the interpreter. And that's good. You see, it's the book that should be in charge of the interpreter, not the interpreter in charge of the book. When we come to this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, Paul is starting the chapter, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Now again in our text, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." He's starting off with this great premise that truth has consequences. Truth has consequences. Truth is not something that's merely to be learned. Truth is something that has to be lived. And indeed in the New Testament, learning and living are so united that true learning always involves living according to the truth received. When the Bible talks about learning Christ, it's not talking about merely reciting or learning so as to be able to recite a number of propositions about Christ. Oh, it's important that we be able to do that. And it is shocking that so very few Christians could actually take their Bible, maybe after being saved for 20 or 30 or 40 years, could not take their Bible and just open up the Scripture and say, "There are the great propositions about the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, the sinlessness of Christ, the atoning death of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the high priestly intercession of Christ, the offices of Christ." We ought to be able to go through the Scriptures and know them well enough. This is true of every Christian who's been saved for more than a few months. We ought to be able to go through the Scriptures and be able to establish from Scripture the great propositions of the truth about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But learning Christ is a whole lot more than being able to do that. Learning Christ is to know those things in such a way that they actually control how you live. And they govern your actions and Of course, this is always much more difficult. Your reactions. You see, the actions of Christians, genuine Christians, the actions of genuine Christians, usually, not always, but usually, are in the ballpark of what is right. And certainly if they get out of that, it's much easier to bring them into line with God's Word. But reactions, we talk about, this is one thing I learned when I came to America, or soon thereafter, you have the freest gut reaction. Guts don't usually look good, and even when they're spilled verbally, they don't look any better. Gut reaction, often wrong reaction. It's usually self-centered, maybe passionate. You see it in the home. You see it in marriage difficulties. You see it in parents with their children, children with their parents. You see it in vicious language, hateful behavior. It's sudden. Before you know it, it's on you, and then you repent at leisure. But what Paul is saying is, when you learn Christ, learning Christ is learning Him and His gospel in such a way that it actually controls the person in his actions and his reactions, in his behavioral patterns, in the heart, in the home, in the head. All those things. Truth has consequences. Now, as I say, this is the principle in which Paul is proceeding here in our text. Therefore, now this is a conclusion from what goes before. It may be a conclusion from the first statement, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we are debtors. Or it may be a conclusion from the much more immediate context. We are not in the flesh, therefore we're not debtors to the flesh. We have the Spirit, therefore we are not debtors to the flesh. So whichever way you look at it, there is a foregoing context out of which grows this great conclusion that the apostle is here stating. In many ways, this is where he begins his application of what he has been teaching in the foregoing verses about the doctrine of our justification in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a lot of very, very serious deviation from the truth being taught as truth from Romans chapter 8 on the subject of sanctification. Coming to this chapter, there are well-meaning preachers, and some of them considerably able Bible students, and they read sanctification into Romans 8. To them, Romans 8 is all about sanctification. And they're wrong. Romans 8 is an exposition of the text in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The whole chapter is an exposition of our justification in Jesus Christ. Some of these theories range all the way from sinless perfection. I mean, I've said this before, so I'll not go into it in any detail, but I can well remember preachers coming to this passage, and the body is dead because of sin. Without actually giving an exegesis of it, without giving a serious exposition of the words, they said, this is sanctification. In sanctification, your body's dead. And that sounds very good, except that it's just nonsense. For it says it's dead because of sin. But they were trying to make you believe it's dead to sin. And I can remember as a young fellow having this put to me. I thought, well, if this is true, I certainly know nothing about it. You've heard me give this illustration. I did not invent it. This is what I heard some people pushing. You stretch out a dead body, it's dead. It's just plain dead. You curse that body, what does it feel? Nothing. You kick that body, what does it feel? Nothing. Why? Because it's dead. And the theory was, if you're sanctified, then in the flesh you're dead. You don't feel anymore anything with regard to sin. There were people, of course, who decided that was going too far, and they had a halfway house. And this is how they put it. Can God keep you from sinning for half a second? And unwary Christians will say, oh, I'm sure he can. Yeah, he can do that. Well, if he can keep you from sinning for a half a second, can he keep you from sinning for 1 second? Well, yeah, I'm sure he could. Well, then if he can do it for a second, can he do it for a minute? Could God keep you from sinning for 1 minute? Well, no, a minute's not too long. Yeah, he could. Well, what about 5 minutes? What about an hour? And if he can keep you from sinning for an hour, can he not keep you from sinning for a day? Well, then why not a week? Now we've gone a week without sinning. Well, what about a month and a year? Well, why do we have to sin at all for the rest of our lives? And of course, it's all based on a nonsense. And it may come as a shock to you that there's not half a second of time in your life that you're without sin. There's not half a second in time in all your life that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In other words, I'm saying that in our holiest moments, there's not even in that moment a sinless conformity to the first and great commandment of the law. See, it's easy to construct theories of perfectionistic sanctification notions if you have a low view of sin. Or if you have a low view of the holiness of God. But let a man once see the purity of God's holiness and feel the depths of human sinfulness, and he will never talk in terms of such nonsense as human sinless perfection.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.